Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and if you only think of Tim Tebow as a great college football player who didn't quite make it in the NFL and wears his Christianity on his sleeve and sometimes on his eye black, there is a lot more to him than that. He's been coming back from adversity literally since he was in the womb when doctors expected him to be stillborn because of a serious illness his mother came down with while she was pregnant. And after you grow up to be one of the greatest college football players of all time, for example, the first ever as only a sophomore to win the Heisman Trophy for best college football player in the whole country, then unexpectedly lead the Denver Broncos to the NFL playoffs and then get labeled not good enough for Pro Bowl, and then start from the bottom in your late 20s to try to switch to baseball, your story is unusual enough. How many people can say they've been signed by both the Jets and the Mets? Maybe only Tim Tebow, but he is at least as dedicated to his Tim Tebow Foundation as he is to sports, and his new book tells some of that story. It's called Shaken, Discovering Your True Identity in the Midst of Life's Storms. Tim, a pleasure to have you here. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
So the book begins when you get released by the New England Patriots. Yeah. After Denver, after the Jets, how did it feel to be the big star in high school and college and then struggle at the professional level to that degree?
Well, I think my professional career had a lot of twists and turns in the NFL. You know, in Denver, there was a lot of highs, and it was special. And then to the Jets, it didn't necessarily go the way you wanted it to. But then it was like, okay, when I got to New England, it was it felt like this is where I'm supposed to be, you know? And this was exciting. Okay, I get to play behind one of the best of all time. And then when he retires, Tom Brady. And then when he retires, it would be awesome. Play for Belichick, win Super Bowls. And then it didn't go the way that I wanted it to, or maybe I thought it was going to. And I remember after I got cut and talking to Coach Belichick, and I flew back home to Jacksonville, and I was sitting on the edge of my bed thinking, I have no car, no home, no one wants me to do what I want to do. And that was really a gut check time where in the midst of those situations, you really have to understand where you find your identity and what really defines you. And I'm just so thankful that at a time where, you know, I was shaken a little bit, I could go back to my identity and something bigger than football and really understanding the bigger picture and keeping perspective, because that's pretty hard to do.
Definitely hard to do. Do you get spoiled when you have that much success as a kid? Is it harder than for someone who never tasted that much fame and success?
Oh, I don't know if it's harder. I think anytime you have a goal and a dream and you have setbacks and obstacles, I think it's always hard. But I think the biggest thing to get through that is perspective. And it's also meaning, understanding that there's a bigger picture and understanding that there's something that's more important than just a game.
A good deal of your book is stories of kids with serious health problems who you help through your foundation. Let me take one example. Robin, a girl born premature at less than 3 pounds who lives with cerebral palsy. It's such a different kind of adversity than being a big star athlete who doesn't make it in the pros. Do you find commonality in your stories?
You try to, but it doesn't even compare. The adversity that I've gone through doesn't compare to what Robin's gone through or a bunch of the other kids in this. But the amazing thing is Robin used to look at her wheelchair and her walker as a disability. Now she looks at it as a platform. And she looks at it as a platform. She gets to tell her story and encourage other kids. And right now, while we're talking, Robin has been ministering to a girl in Ohio named Kate who only has a couple of days to live. And she's from Jacksonville as well. And so, you know, Kate's been very close with me and our foundation. And she's fighting a very rare form of cancer right now. But Robin has been ministering to her in the midst of all her disabilities and her obstacles. And that's just what's so awesome is it is totally about perspective. But when you're able to understand what you've been given can actually be used to help other people, even if you don't always look at it as a positive, that's what can be pretty incredible.
And you say ministering, consistent with who you are, this is a motivational book with a decidedly Christian bent. And you were brought up that way. I read you were born in the Philippines where your parents were doing missionary work. Is that right?
Yes.
How do you see the mission in missionary work? If you're helping people who really need help, but you also have a mission of spreading your faith, What's the balance between helping people in their lives for its own sake versus getting people into Jesus, and the help you're giving is a means to that end?
Well, I feel like that's different for each person that you talk to. I feel like my mission, what I feel like I've been called to do since I was 15 years old, is to bring faith, hope, and love to those needing a brighter day in their darkest hour of need. That's the mission statement for our foundation. And we want to do that any way possible. That's why we have a hospital in the Philippines. That's why we take care of over 2,000 orphans. That's why this year we'll have almost 400 proms for people with special needs. And we just want to care about people. We want to love people. And we want to, more than tell people about Jesus, we want to show people the love of Jesus with how we act every day. Because one of my favorite quotes is, every day we share the gospel, but every now and then we use words. Meaning we do that with how we act, with how we live. And we want to show that love to people every time we come in contact with them.
Whether or not they're potential converts.
Yeah, that's up to them and God. Our job is to love people. Our job is to care about people. Our job is to help people. When they're in need, we have to do everything we can to make a difference in their life. And that's my biggest goal. That's what I feel like it's been my calling since I was 15.
In the book, when you're cut by the Patriots, you complain to God. I thought being on the Patriots was a plan you designed for me. Why, God, is this crashing and burning? Is there a spiritual answer to that question?
Well, I feel, number one, I'm thankful that he's God and I'm not, and he's in control and I'm not. And you have to trust him with that. And that's also what walking by faith means, is, you know, you're not going to know the plan, but you have to trust it, that God has a plan, and his plan is always better than mine.
Was your faith shaken at that moment? Title of your book is Shaken.
Yeah, there's been several times where I felt shaken, like everything around me has been shaken. And I think what matters is, in the midst of those moments, what is your foundation? What do you have to hold on to? When everything around you feels like this isn't going the way it's supposed to go, or the way I thought it was going to go, what do you have to hold on to? And I'm so thankful I have a relationship with God to hold on to in those moments.
How do you maintain faith in a loving God when you see things in the world, from you being let down in your career after such hard work, which is a small thing, to the big horrors like earthquakes and the Holocaust?
Well, I think also when you're sharing about my career, it's all about perspective. It's all about understanding that I've been blessed with so much. And because the NFL doesn't go the way you want it to, like, in the bigger picture, that's nothing
sure
to complain about. Because, you know, look at all the kids that we get to minister to every day and what they're going through. And it's so hard. And for me, I'm not going to be able to understand everything. And I'm not a theologian to explain everything to you. But the one thing is that I know that there's a God that loves me and has a plan for my life. And for every single of those Wish kids, he loves them and has a special plan for their life. And, you know, my goal and my mission is to be a helping hand to every single one of those kids, and hopefully every person that I meet.
Where does faith come from? We have a lot of secular listeners being in New York. Where does that faith come from? How do you know there's a God? How do you know he's really there for you?
Well, that's what belief is. And faith is, you know, for me, is I choose to believe. And I also believe that faith can be a choice. Believing can be a choice. And you have to make that choice. And for me, I choose to believe that there's a God that loves me and has a plan for my life. And then, you know, when I chose to put my trust in Jesus, it was the best decision that I ever made in my life. And then what God has done in my life through that has been a testament to me and myself.
Tim Tebow with us. His new book is called Shaken, Discovering Your True Identity in the Midst of Life's Storms. Getting back to sports, I see you played in the Arizona Fall League, mm-hmm. trying to work your way to the Mets. From what I read, you started slow against guys who've been playing baseball full-time for years, but you were on a nice roll by the end. Where do you think you're at, and what happens next?
I feel like I was improving. I feel like, you know, I was getting better and better and better, and by the last couple of weeks, I felt like my timing was getting there and really improving, and I was having a lot of fun doing it. And it's so cool when you get a chance to play, you know, two sports that I love growing up, and, you know, what a dream come true that is.
Two sports that you love. You know, they say parents love their children equally but differently. Do you love playing baseball differently from playing football?
Yes.
They're such different games.
So different. And you prepare differently. Your mindset's so different. The intensity is so different. The emotion levels are so different. But I love the one-on-one aspect that you have as a hitter versus a pitcher, and the skill that it takes to go out and do that, and the hours of work you have to put in for that one fast fastball, that's where you like it, or to be able to hang on that curveball or slider. And so I love the skill level of that.
It's also more, you were kind of hinting at this in your answer, it's a much more individual game than football.
It's a much more individual game, yes. But there's so much that it takes to get to that place that's so different as well.
I see one possible scenario is that you qualify at spring training for A-ball, and that would put you on the Brooklyn Cyclones. How cool would that be for you to play baseball in Brooklyn?
That would be cool. I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm just looking forward to spring training, and we'll take it from there.
We do a lot of politics on this show, and I read in the summer that you were invited by the Trump folks to speak at the Republican convention, but you declined. If that's all true, why'd you turn it down?
Well, you know, I've been asked a lot over the last couple of years if I was going to ever get into politics. And the answer is I'm not sure, but I know that my biggest goal in life is to help as many people as possible. And if that could one day be in politics, if I feel where that leads, then that will be the time that I choose to get in politics. But I don't feel like I'm there yet. And if I'm ready one day, then I'll do it. But I don't feel like right now is the time or the place.
Did you vote?
I did.
Are you a Trump supporter?
I'm going to bleed the fifth on that one.
Trump is seen by so many as willing to capitalize on people's hatreds, while Jesus was all about love. Yet Trump won 80% of self-described evangelicals. Do you get that?
Well, I feel like that's just trying to get me in a trap question. I feel like my goal is to try to bring people together. And the biggest way to do that is through love and is through caring about people. And hopefully that we can build some bridges in this country to find some common ground. And hopefully that common ground can be love for one another.
My sense of the NFL and pro sports in general is that race relations are better there than in almost any other institution in American life. In your experience, how true would you say that is?
In my experience, that's a brotherhood. And you go through so many highs and lows with the guys on the team that you bond. And it's not about color. It's not about race. It's not about ethnicity. It's about you've been on this grind with them. And you've experienced highs and lows. And so you become so close with people that have such a different background. But it's an awesome way of bringing people together. That's one thing I think is really cool about sports.
Has it been harder this year because there are so many tensions? And as you know, they run along racial lines to some degree with respect to the presidential campaign. Has it been harder in the teams that you've been involved with this year?
Well, this whole year has been a little different for me getting into baseball and instructs Arizona Fall League. So that's been a little bit different. But the teams that I've been on, their relationships have been great.
Is there anything you want to say about Colin Kaepernick?
I don't think so.
Let me ask you a Kaepernick question this way. And I get that you wouldn't want to comment on him, personally. But he's in the news for not standing during the national anthem, then not voting, and now being something of a Fidel Castro fan. You use your sports celebrity platform to talk publicly about religion, like with your book. Are you and Kaepernick doing, in a way, the same thing for your respective causes?
Well, I think for me, my goal with, you know, getting on a knee was never something that I did for publicity. It's something that started my sophomore year in high school and would go to the side, get on a knee to just pray about the game and thank the Lord for all the blessings and everything and pray for both teams. And I'll get on a knee, I'll get up, I'll sprint down the sideline, I'll do two jumps, and then I'll be ready to play. Well, I did that from my sophomore year all the way through the Broncos, Jets, everywhere. But it just happened to get talked about when I was with the Broncos because we started having come from behind wins and people would see me get on a knee after the game, which I'd been doing for so many years. And it was people would talk about Tebowing, and it was interesting because, there was good and there was bad talk with it, but I thought it was at least cool that prayer was being talked about. And for me, it wasn't
appropriate to use.
It wasn't something I ever did for the publicity. It was something that I did for myself.
I was a big fan of yours when you were with Denver because of your creative style of play. And I was rooting for you when you were on the Jets to be given a shot.
Well, thank you.
What happened there?
You know, it was that was a tough season. It was something we didn't have the success that we wanted. I didn't have the success that I wanted there. But it was obviously, I think, a huge learning opportunity for everybody involved.
We're almost out of time. We have 2 minutes. Do you want to talk about one of the other kids who you write about in the book?
Why? I think there's so many amazing kids and stories that I share in the book about young people overcoming adversity and obstacles and how they have given me so much inspiration because of their faith in the midst of adversity and obstacles. And it'd be hard to just pick out one, but there are so many special stories.
I get the sense that you spend more hands-on time with your foundations than a lot of other athletes who have foundations. How much time do you spend? What do you do?
Well, I spend a lot of time. I mean, I was in the Philippines a lot this summer. I've been in Haiti multiple times. We'll have almost 400 proms for people with special needs this year, and I'll try to get to as many as possible and love as many kids and care about them. And I'm heavily involved with the foundation.
Did you say proms?
Yes,
high
sir.
School proms?
Proms for people with special needs.
And how do they go? What's the scene?
Well, they're awesome. It's red carpet. It's everything. You know, I mean, it's decked out. It's amazing because for a lot of these kids, they've never been to a prom their entire life. And this isn't just kids. We have 70-year-olds and 80-year-olds with special needs come as well. And this year, there will be close to 200,000 people that will be celebrated at these proms. And it's so special because they've never been able to get cheered for and clapped for and celebrated. And that's our goal, is we celebrate every single one of them. And every one of them is the king or the queen of the prom. And then that we do that because we feel like that's how God looks at them every single day of their life.
That's neat. We just have 30 seconds. If there's a bottom line message to your book, what do you want people to remember?
That every single person matters, and there's a plan for everybody's life, and that God loves them. And then when they pick the, you know, if they pick this book up with their head down, that they can finish it with their head held high, knowing that they matter and God has a special plan for their life.
Tim Tebow, his new book is called Shaken, Discovering Your True Identity in the Midst of Life's Storms. Maybe we'll see you in Brooklyn next spring.
Sounds good. Look forward to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for coming
in. Appreciate it.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.